On this episode of The Edge podcast, ClearEdge CEO Leslie Vickery interviews Stacey Kleinhens, Vice President of Human Resources at Belflex Staffing Network, a staffing firm focused on the light industrial sector. Stacey shares with us how the war of talent affects organizational changes, why employment branding plays a critical role in hiring strategies, tactics to retain internal talent, and so much more. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hi, everyone. This is Leslie Vickery, CEO and founder of ClearEdge Marketing, and welcome to the Edge podcast. Today, it brings me great pleasure to welcome Stacey Kleinhens, the VP of HR with Belflex Staffing Network. Stacey, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about Belflex. Obviously, I'm familiar with the company, but I think it'd be great for those joining us today to hear a little bit of background about the firm and then perhaps a little bit about what you do day to day.
Sounds good. Yeah. Here at Belflex, I am the VP of HR for Belflex Staffing Network, and we are a commercial staffing firm. Our big focus is in the light industrial space of the staffing industry. And really, it's an exciting time for our company. We are currently and actively branching out and broadening our business to include different segments of the staffing industry, speaking about direct hire, speaking about professional staffing, containment services. And so it really is an exciting time for Belflex, and I'm glad to be part of that organization. My role here with HR, it encompasses everything HR. It's from comp and benefits to the full life cycle of talent management for our employees.
Excellent. Well, you've been in HR now for over 10 years, five of those being in staffing during your tenure at Belflex. So I feel like I've seen a lot of change in the evolution of HR in the recruitment industry, but I'd be curious just to hear from you within the industry at large and even within your own firm, how have you seen the role of HR evolve?
That's right. I think the biggest change that I've seen over the course of this 5 to 10 years is the war for talent that we hear so much about. It's a real thing. You know, it's not an issue that's unique to the staffing industry. The war for talent, if you want to call it that, it's impacting companies of any industry. They're all feeling this pinch. And with unemployment rates being at an all-time low, hovering around 4%, that unemployment rate has been cut in half over that time frame, so over the past 5 to 10 years. And with unemployment rates being at that level, it's really difficult to find good talent out there. So our teams are really being challenged to recruit in a different way. And the candidate experience is becoming, you know, so important to recruiting that talent to join our organization internally, as well as the temporary workforce that we're recruiting to place out on assignments with our clients. So we're feeling it all over. A close second, in my opinion, as far as the things that have changed within HR is just the dynamics of the workplace. We're, you know, bringing in and seeing new generations enter the workforce. And these new generations are bringing different demands. What they want to see from an employer is so much different than what the generations preceding them wanted to see or what they cared about. So in this type of environment, you know, where there is the, you know, an excess of jobs and a limit of talent, it's really important to make sure that you're focusing your employer brand, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, on the things that these new and evolving generations want to see in the workplace.
I would agree. I think, I mean, just to summarize that, really the war for talent and the focus on the candidate side, but then also looking at how your company operates. So from remote work models to just certain areas of flexibility or expectations of the new worker, so to speak, it's definitely changing the dynamic. And one thing, Stacey, I know, you know, working closely with HR, I often, obviously, I wear a marketing hat, but
you know, playing off your point of the newer generations and what they're expecting in the workforce today, they're also very social savvy. And they're really taking a lot of the behavior they exhibit on the consumer side. So looking at reviews and ways that they make decisions to purchase, it could be staying at a hotel, going to dinner somewhere, whatever it may be, the purchasing decision they make a lot of times is based on referrals or what they're reading about online on review sites. And having partnered a lot with HR, one of the things in particular we work with groups on would be Glassdoor and other review sites. So obviously as you're recruiting talent in, it's really important to have that strong employment brand because they are looking, you know, not just candidates, but clients. I know I've talked about this a lot. We've had reporters mention that they're looking at Glassdoor reviews as well. And it's also just really telling of the culture, which can be tough for a staffing company because you're often having, you know, multiple people respond to reviews, whether that be a consultant maybe who's having an experience versus a person who's kind of a full-time employee where they're a recruiter or sales rep or someone in an operations type role. So for you, as you look at that and knowing the importance of that, what advice do you have, I guess, for your peers, you know, in trying to convince the C-suite, so to speak, that they really need to take notice of not only this new worker, but as you're looking for talent to join your company and you need to do things in a unique and different way, paying attention to those reviews have become extremely important. How do you convince the executive team that that's the case?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Everyone is turning to the internet, right? When they want to learn about anything, like you said, the restaurants, the stores, if they are looking at you as a potential employer, they're turning to the internet. And so what you're putting out there is super critical. My advice to HR professionals that are in an environment where maybe the C-suite doesn't quite buy into the people side of the organization, it can feel soft, but really it's much deeper than that. And my advice would simply be asking the question of who's responsible for delivering our product. And it's the people, right? And I think when we rely on our people to deliver the service, they are directly impacting our bottom line. It's not the words that we're putting on paper. It's not the vision statement. It's not the strategic plan that, you know, we're creating in the C-suite. Those things help, of course, but it's the people at the end of the day that we need delivering on that. And so creating a culture where our employees are driven to deliver the best to our clients each and every day, and creating a good internal environment and a good culture for employees to want to come and work for your organization, it's so important. The employees are the heart of any organization. And I firmly believe that if you skimp on your efforts to create a healthy culture and attract the best talent to your organization, it's going to be reflected in your bottom line.
I would agree. And I think part of that, Stacey, I don't know how you feel about this, but you know, if you think about it, every person who interacts with, let's say, your product can make or break an interaction with that other person. So it could be any point of an experience that someone has. Let's say it's a candidate and it's during the interview process or onboarding process, things that should happen that don't happen. And a lot of that boils down to training. So first of all, if the entire company isn't on board to know that they can impact, regardless of their role, what a Glassdoor review says, you know, there's a misunderstanding there because they definitely can, all the way up to the C-suite, down to the, you know, everyone who picks up the phone and talks to someone. But oftentimes we find, you know, training, it kind of like marketing a little bit. So we're both in a situation where we're often seen as overhead, and as business changes, you know, there's ebbs and flows in business, oftentimes overhead is cut. Yet during a lot of exit interviews and company surveys, training's often seen as something that employees wish they had more of, professional development, training, and so forth. And we have seen it play a pivotal role in helping companies create kind of this new workforce to meet hiring demand. So perhaps share with us a little bit, because I do think the two go hand in hand. It's one thing to educate the C-suite and hope that they can see the value in, you know, just operate a really good company, treat people fairly and do the right things and good things will happen. Aside from that, you know, making sure that the company is properly trained on how to execute on that is really important. So tell us a little bit, why do you think companies should embrace a strong training program? And I guess any technologies or programs that you've seen work as of late to create, you know, this piece or the sense of urgency within having training work well. And again, it could be within your own company or, you know, looking at companies. And I know Belflex has a program for this where, you know, you're even trying to use training to not only help your current workforce, but create new workforces to meet client demands as well.
Yeah, we are. That's a big part of our organization and what we do. Your initial question takes me back to the comment that I just made about, you know, who's really driving the results within an organization, and it being your people and the experience that your people are creating for your clients. And in our case, our temporary employees that we're placing out at our clients, the interaction with the recruiter and the experience that we're giving our client and our employees before we send them out on assignment, that's what creates our success in our organization. And I feel like if you cut back on things like learning, number one, you're taking away the ability to develop the skill set of our employees and the skill sets that they need to be successful in their roles. And secondly, it's stealing from the culture, right? If your employees do not feel that you are investing in them and that you believe in them and that, you're not willing to invest in their development, that's what these generations coming into the workforce today want. They want to grow, they want to learn, they want to develop. And if we're not willing to invest in that, they're going to look elsewhere, and we won't be able to retain that talent. So I think if we were to cut back in learning and development programs, I think we take away from two different areas, not only the skill set that our employee population needs to be successful, but also we're stealing from the culture a little bit. And it's, you know, makes it a less attractive place for someone to want to work. As far as programs here at Belflex, you know, we do a lot in the community. We have a junior mentoring program that we have rolled out and implemented in several of our markets where we partner with local high schools, and we teach juniors and seniors in those high schools how to be ready, job ready when they graduate. You know, how do you conduct yourself in an interview? How do you dress? How do you keep a job once you get the job? So teaching these life skills to students at that age, it's prepping them when they do hit the job market. We are also participating in Lift the Tri-State here in Cincinnati, where we were actually named their Partner of the Year. Similar concept where we're teaching those job readiness skills to individuals in our community. And it's those folks that are needing it most. We're going in and we're teaching them how to go out in the job market and conduct themselves, obtain a job and keep that job once they get it. So training and developing, you know, whether it's our candidates, the up and coming workforce, or our internal employee population is so important.
So clearly you all believe in training. I mean, so much so that you, and this is such a smart move as far as looking at, you know you have the organization within itself that you believe in training, but then also giving opportunities to others where you have demands within your clients, you know the obviously the job world so well and what opportunities there are out there to help retool or retrain and train people in general to create a new workforce is really smart to meet those needs. So I really applaud Belflex for those efforts. So, you know, I think, Stacey, we often people will think of HR and they'll say, oh no, HR is in the room, probably shouldn't say that, or is HR, are they listening, what's going on? And think of HR, you know, as kind of the hiring or firing arm of a company. But I think of HR, and I think it's because I've seen this function work so well within a company looking at scaling, really taking their company to the next level. It's just such a critical role to have and to define it more than hiring, firing, and talent and workforce and compensation. It's so much more to the executive suite when they're given that opportunity or that seat at the table, quote unquote. So even if you think of a CFO or COO, the CHRO is now such an important role and one that you see added more and more. Perhaps tell us a little bit about how you describe it and why you think it deserves such a prominent seat at the table.
Sure. HR has evolved dramatically over time. In the 10 years that I've been in HR, I've seen it change. It is everything people. And as I alluded to a little bit earlier, you know, it's about creating that culture where employees want to be part of your team and perform at their best, right? They're the ones, again, not to be repetitive or redundant, but they're the ones that are there delivering that service to our clients. And there's a lot that goes into that. You know, how are we attracting our talent, and how are we rewarding and recognizing our talent? Because once we attract that talent, we need to retain it. How are we managing different situations when we have employees that may not be fully performing, and how does that impact the team? Who is bought into what we do each and every day, and how do we help our employees buy into our mission so they can best represent us each and every day? How do we ensure that we're giving our employees the tools that they need to be successful? Again, that learning element. How are we compensating our employees? Again, if we don't have fair or competitive compensation programs, we're not able to retain that talent that we're attracting. So HR is a big job. There's a lot involved. Again, it's everything people, from attracting that talent, developing that talent, and retaining that talent.
I would agree. And I think as you look at, you know, companies who do, you know, are doing mergers and acquisitions and scaling, opening new markets, oftentimes where people fail and what they're doing is not taking into consideration the different cultures, or not looking at the real story behind what they think of at the surface of that culture to make sure that the companies will work well together and that the employees and teams will be think of each other as one. And I think even to that regard, you know, having HR involved in strategic company decisions as they grow is becoming inherently important just from a pure retention standpoint. You could buy a company and lose a lot of them if it's not handled in the right way. So speaking of retention, you know, obviously the staffing industry is known to have a lot of high turnover. What do you think is, you know, maybe just your top one to three things that you look at when it comes to retaining talent? What's most important to think of?
That is a great question, and it's one that we talk about a lot here at Belflex. What is it that we can do as an organization to retain our top folks and keep people excited about what we do? And I think the more that we can refresh that why of what we're doing, the better. And I'll give you an example. We're actually this week holding an annual kickoff meeting here in Cincinnati, and we're bringing all of our branch leaders into Cincinnati, where we're going to be talking about our plan for 2018, and we're going to be doing some training sessions, and it's a team building as well. And our teams are going to walk away from that feeling, you know, energized, and it creates that consistency as far as our strategic direction and where we're going. It creates the alignment that we need to be a successful business, but it's also creating that passion for what we do. So that's, you know, bringing our teams together and helping them just refocus on the why we're doing what we do, I think is a great way to keep people energized and focused And it keeps them happy in their roles. We actually evaluated last year our compensation plans, and we've implemented new bonus structures or commission structures for a lot of our team members this year. And I think it's a way that we can keep competitive when it comes to compensation and retaining that talent. So there's a lot that goes into retaining your talent and what we consider, and it's always changing. So the moment an organization becomes stagnant in that regard is the moment that you're going to lose your top talent, and you're going to be looking in the rearview mirror wondering what happened. So it's something that we always talk about here, and it's something that I would encourage, you know, every HR professional and every executive team to be discussing on a regular basis.
So you've been in staffing now for over 5 years. What excites you most about the next 5 years?
It is an ever-changing industry, I will say that. It's, you know, fast-paced, moves quickly. And again, that continuous improvement is so critical. I think, you know, with the technology that can change our ability to source and retain talent or attract talent, keeping up with the technology changes over the next 5 years, I find most exciting. The way that we communicate with our employees, I would say, has changed quite a bit since I started in this industry. When I first started with Belflex, I would go and visit an office, and Thursdays was our payday. And if you go to an office on a Thursday, you know, the front lobbies were full. People were there collecting their paper paychecks, right? Those that didn't have direct deposit were, you know, coming in person, which, you know, it presents another challenge. Today we do pay cards. So individuals, you know, technology has allowed us to pay individuals, you know, with the click of a button versus having someone come into the office and collect a paycheck. But it's presented another challenge for us. And how do we keep that connection with our employees? You know, when they came into the office, we were able to build and maintain that relationship with them. So, you know, technology has made it more efficient when it comes to paying our employees. But then on the flip side of that, it's also presented a challenge in how we communicate. So I think in the next 5 years, the way that technology allows us to operate, you know, more efficiently, how do we evolve with that is what I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out. And it's, again, one of those things that you really need to stay on top of. You don't want to be looking in the rearview mirror and being behind the curve.
Right. There are so many new technologies to support our industry. It can be really overwhelming, but it's also so exciting that people are making that kind of an investment and they see the importance of talent. I mean, I personally think anyone in staffing and recruitment right now is sitting in such a great seat because we're focusing on talent, and that's what keeps these companies in business and growing and so forth. So to be part of this in the next 5, 10, 15 years is going to be pretty phenomenal. Okay, Stacy, so with that, we want to get to know you a little bit and have fun. One last question. This question makes me as nervous as I think it does some of the guests on the podcast when we ask it, because I never know what someone's going to say. But we're going to throw it out your way anyway. So tell us one thing we don't already know about you that others may find surprising.
Oh, golly. So thanks for putting me on the spot with that.
I know.
I think the folks that are closest to me probably know this about me. However, it's not well known by everyone, I would say, but I am extremely competitive.
Oh.
Extremely. To a fault. To a fault. So losing is not an option in my book.
I think you're like a stealth competitor, because I would not have gotten that from knowing you. You and I share that in common. We did the Strength Finders for ClearEdge throughout the company And that was definitely one that stood out for me as well, kind of hyper-competitive. So we've got that in common, Stacey.
Very nice.
All right. Well, good luck with your company meeting this week. And tell us if people wanted to get in touch with you and learn a little bit more about either, you know, the LIFT program and what you all are up to, or some of the exciting programs you have going on in HR, how would they get in touch with you?
Sure. You can always email me at fkleinhens@bellflex.com or find me on LinkedIn, Stacey Kleinhens with Bellflex Staffing Network.
Fantastic. Thank you again, Stacey.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's The Edge episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And you can also email me at etatum, T-A-T-U-M, at clearedgemarketing.com. And let me know if you have any questions or if you want to hear about anything in particular as it relates to our Women in Staffing series or our marketing episodes. So just shoot me an email and I look forward to connecting with you. Thank you.